would be a great time for you to get your outlines out as we go to our message for the night. Now, one of the many new personalities that I've come to know this past year is my new friend, Brian. Now, I like Brian a lot. Brian is very loud, and Brian is very crazy. He's also very smart, he's very inquisitive, and I find Brian to be very teachable. He learns quickly, and he studies hard. The thing I think I like the best about Brian, though, is that he makes me laugh constantly. And whenever I go to work and I know I want to see him, I'm always a little bit happier for that. Brian, by the way, is 25 years old, and he is married to the love of his life, Jen. And together, the two of them have battled through Jen's cancer and have seen incredible victories in her health. They are happily married, and they are now settled into their first home. Now, to this day, Brian has never called me Drew. He always calls me Mr. Kleinbell. Perhaps that's because I'm 22 years older than Brian, or because I've worked for years with his father, and I remember very well the day Brian was born. I can tell you this. Brian is very well-mannered, and he's a very respectful young man. He grew up in a family that went to church constantly, and his mom was very proactive in steering him towards very solid morals. Well, several weeks ago, I was sitting at the breakfast table in our firehouse kitchen, and Brian was, you could just tell, hyped up. He was dying to say something. He waited till everybody left the room, and then he sat down and he told me his incredible and exciting news. Mr. Kleinbell, Jen and I are going to have a baby. Well, he was beaming from ear to ear, and I could tell that he'd been dying to tell someone all morning. And I was very honored that he had chosen to tell me. So we talked up for the next 10 minutes about how the pregnancy was going, and then Brian confided in me quite seriously. He said, I'm concerned and I'm nervous about whether or not I'm going to be a good dad. He asked me what he should expect in child rearing. And he also asked me, what do I need to do to be a good dad? Now, like I said, Brian's a very good student. And I love working with eager pupils and humble learners. So I told him some enlightening things on what he would come across. And I also encouraged him and said, Brian, you're going to be a great dad. But since that morning that we had that conversation, I wish I had said so much more to Brian than I actually did. And so tonight I would like to finish answering his question. The question he asked of, what must I do to be a great parent? Now, I'll be the first to admit that there are a myriad of things that parents must do to be successful. But I really want to focus on three foundational things that God gives us as commands in child rearing. Now you can find these in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. We'll read through those first in the New Living Translation, then in the Message. God gives us these commands. He says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on their children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Now from the Message, God says, write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you. And then get them inside your children. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into bed at night. Now, gang, when we look at this parenting instruction from God to us, it's very insightful, especially if we follow the progression that God has laid out in these two verses. Look at verse 6. The first thing God says about child rearing is this. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Speaking to the parents. The message makes it even more clear. Write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. get them inside you. You see, the first step in child rearing is not adjusting the child. It is instead adjusting or addressing yourself, the parent. God tells the parent, you must know the truth. We'll make that our first point tonight. Know the truth. We must, as parents, know the truth ourselves. And that includes not just knowing the truth, but unlearning the untruths that we've picked up along the way. God is saying this, you, parent, you must know what is right and what is wrong. We must know that to find right and wrong, we have to go to God's word and look at the commands that he's given us to find out what right is and what wrong is. Remember, God wrote, write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Now, one of the things that has truly surprised me as a pastor is the growing number of people who I meet as they come to Westbridge who truly were never taught what God's right and what God's wrong were or are. I don't blame these folks for not having learned that, and I don't think any less of them. I'm just totally surprised that right and wrong was never taught and has become so cloudy and so subjective. For instance, premarital sex of any kind is not in God's design for us. Instead, sex is a physical, emotional, and spiritual bond that is designed to connect and meld a man and a woman together as one. And that's to be done inside the pledge, inside the assurance of the marriage commitment. That's one of God's commands. Well, today, that command of God's is totally ignored. God is saying that as a parent, we need to know the truth. And we need to reject the compromises, reject the concessions that this world says are the truths. Reject the commandments that the world would hand us and adhere and understand and know God's commandments. Get them on our hearts. God says in his word that it is right for us to be sober. The untruths thrown at us today by this world say, party it up. Get buzz. Ride the Coors Light train. Parents, if we are going to raise children successfully, we have to know what the truth is and what the untruth is. God says in his word that it's right for us to be truthful in all things. This world says, well, you can lie a bit as long as you get away with it, as long as your motive is good. So to my friend Brian, I would love to amend what I said and add to him. Brian, you want to be successful as a parent? Well, God says if we're going to be good parents, we have to learn his truth. We must unlearn all the falsehoods flying around us. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you and get them inside your children. Okay, now the next progressive step here is to get God's command into us and into our children. Now I want to bring your attention to Titus 2:7 because I think it gives us a great insight on how to do that. Titus 2:7 says this, you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and the seriousness of your teaching. See, step two in God's child-rearing progression is for the parent to model the truth. Make that point two tonight. Model the truth. Gang, this means living out God's commands rather than just quoting them. I love the story of the man who took his child to the amusement park. He went to the amusement park with his 13-year-old son who had turned 13 just a week ago and walked up to the ticket window to buy his admission ticket. The dad and his 13-year-old son looked up at the price board and saw that adult tickets were for anyone over 12. Anyone 12 and under was a less price, a child's ticket. So the father pulled out his wallet, looked at the ticket agent and said, "I'll have 2 adult tickets, please." He got the 2 tickets and his son and the father walked away. And as they did, the boy pulled at his father's arm and said, "Dad, why did you buy the adult ticket for me? I only turned 13 a week ago. No, you know, if you would have bought that a child ticket, nobody ever would have known, Dad." The father looked down at his son and said, "Oh no, you would have known." You see, this man's son will always have a picture in his mind of what honesty looks like. That lesson probably cost that dad $7, $8, $10. But the message he communicated was priceless. That dad knew that God's truth called for him to be honest. And he modeled God's truth in a way that his son will never forget. You know, here at Westbridge, when we celebrate a baby dedication, we never put the emphasis on the baby's actions. We don't even highly stress God's involvement in the child, although that's very important. Instead, during baby dedication, what we do is we call the parents, and we call the family members, and we call the friends to commit to the job of modeling a God-honoring life before that child. Baby dedication, in reality, is about the parents dedicating themselves to raising that child right. It's about accepting the responsibility God has entrusted to them. It's not about handing the child rearing back over to God. So, parents, we must first know the truth. And then number 2, we must model and live out that truth. I wish I had said that to Brian that morning at the firehouse. But there's a third phase in this progression. Lastly is this. We'll go back to Deuteronomy 6. "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on their children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." We call this last action shepherding the heart. Let's make that step 3 or point 3 tonight. Shepherding the child's heart. What does that mean, though? Well, it means going further than just giving the child God's truth and making them obey it. It means moving beyond an obedience that has to obey, and it means growing a child's heart to embrace God's truth. Shepherding a child's heart allows a child to understand God's truths, and it allows them to accept it because he or she has become convinced that what God says is right. Shepherding a child's heart gives the answers to the why questions. Why do we do these things? Why does God ask us to do this? Instead of just obey because you must. And Deuteronomy 6 makes it very clear that we are to explain. It says here, Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, "Talk about God's commands when you sit at home. Explain them when you're traveling about in the morning and in the evening." It means all the time. It means always explaining God's truth to your children, helping them understand it so that they will desire and ask for God's leadership in their lives. I had a conversation recently with a child. It was a shepherding their heart conversation. This child asked me about something that they had read in 1 Corinthians about not being unequally yoked, but God telling us to be equally yoked. You see, God's truth in this passage is telling us that we are to date and to marry someone who has the same commitment to God that we have. And this child asked me, said, "Does this mean that I should only date and only marry someone who's accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior like I have?" And I said, "Yes, it does." And then we talked about it. We talked about how it would play out And I says, you know what? Let's talk about God's command here. Help me wind this tape forward and see how it would turn out both ways. I said, let's take it that you have this mom, and she loves Jesus Christ. She has embraced him at an early age, and she has children now, and she asks her children every night to say their prayers, talk to God, and ask God to watch over them in the evening. This mom tells her children how much Jesus loves them, and how he will watch over them, and how he cares for them, and wants the best for them. This mom tells her children that you have to obey God's commands. God gives us the best life, life to the full, when we live the way God's asked us to live. This mom asks these children to trust Jesus through the good times and also count on him and trust him through the bad times, to live their life for him. Meanwhile, the dad, he doesn't have those beliefs. So when he tucks the kids in at night and they say, Dad, is it time to pray? He tells them, well, there's really no need to do that because he doesn't have a belief in God. When they say, Dad, can we trust Jesus to see us through these tough times? He says, well, you can really count on me because I'm all there is. I'm what's going to take care of you. I looked at this young person. I said, how do you think that would play out for that family? And that young person says to me, that would be a very, very difficult way to live, a difficult thing to understand. And I said, that's why. That's why God says, be equally yoked. Make your spirituality top priority in who you choose to be with and navigate life with. I said to that person, do you see God's wisdom in that command? Do you see how he's trying to prevent us from something that wouldn't be good for us? Shepherding the heart. Now, I could tell that young person I was talking to, I could tell him, here's God's command. And I can also tell that young person, and look at my life. I never dated anyone but a Christian. But eventually, that young person has to decide who they're going to follow. That young person has to decide what course they're going to choose as leadership in their life. And will they accept God's truth as the only truth? God says that you and I, parents, are to do the work of explicating. We are to do the job of illuminating. We are to do the job of explaining God's commands, nurturing, fostering, shepherding our children's hearts toward an acceptance of God's leadership. So I go back to my story with Brian, my 25-year-old friend at the firehouse who's about to have a baby. I go back to Brian and I say, I'd like to change my answer, Brian. I'd like to amend it. Brian, you want to be a good parent? Here's what God says. You've got to know the truth. You've got to know God's commands. You've got to know what works in this thing called life. You've got to write it on your heart, Brian, and know them through and through. And after that, you need to live it. You need to model it for your children so that they see it. Let your children see the fruits of a life lived well. And let your children see how God blesses the commands that he gives us when we obey them. And lastly, always, always take the time, no matter where you are, no matter when the opportunity comes, always take the time to explain God's commands to them. Shepherd your child's heart so that they will find the truth that you have written on yours. That's what I'd like to say to Brian. But a lot of us here today are parents, aren't we? A lot of us here are on this journey trying to be successful in our parenting. Well, Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7 are for us as well. We're here every Saturday night determining what is God's truth, finding out what God would have us do in situations of life. We are here every Saturday night and then Wednesday night in small groups diving into God's word and saying, Lord, what is right? What should I stay away from? We are believers in Jesus Christ who ask for His Holy Spirit to guide us, to give us the power to actually live those truths out. To say, Lord, I want to not only know what You say, but I want to do what You say. And then lastly, take those opportunities to shepherd your child's heart. Let them know why God asks us to do a certain thing, so that we will have life to the full as He promised. We can do it. Let's pray again. Lord, I want to thank You for being here with us tonight as we looked at Deuteronomy 6. And I pray that You would help us as parents to engage what You've given us. Lord, help us to understand what the truth is, to know what it is to be loving, patient, joyful, long-suffering. Lord, to be kind, gentle, to have self-control. All the things You've commanded us to do. Help us to know what the truth is in situations of life. And Lord, I then pray that You would help us to live these things out. That our children would see us as living words of God. That we are doing what You've called us to do. And they would see the successful life that You give us in that. The peace, the joy. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to always take those opportunities to educate our children, to shepherd their heart in the right direction. Lord, I thank You that You give us this amazing privilege to be parents. And I pray that we would do what You've commanded us to do in the Bible, in our parenting skills. We leave ourselves in Your hands, knowing it's the best place to be.
So what did you think of that great speaker that we brought in for you? All right, I'll give him that feedback. Why don't we stand? Parenting is one of the hardest jobs I've ever had. I know that. And so I know we're all in the same boat together, hoping that our kids aren't in too much therapy when they're done with us, right? But we have God as our Father, and we can learn from Him. So be encouraged. God is with you. He's the everlasting God. He will not faint. He will not grow weary. We'll see you next week at what time?
Six
for Facing the Giants. We'll see you then. We'll have the popcorn on for you next week. Good night.